That's 8:45 on the clock, so we will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, February 14th, 2018. We will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. For those of you who can stand, yeah.
Right. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Hill, Bauman, Gorn, Byers, and Thiemann. Consent agenda. One is the general agenda. Two is approved minutes of the meeting held January 31st, 2018. Three is approve all claims through February 14th, 2018 in the amount of $425,412.55, except claim number 18020-1228 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $2,147.50 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approved register of deeds fees report and district court summary fee report for the month of January 2018. Approved caretakers for the Pioneer Cemeteries of Gage County for 2018 season. Number seven, utility permit number 1088 to Blue Valley Telecom. We'll be filing in fiber cable 4 foot deep along the back slope of East Ditch on South 162nd Road for 930 feet north of East State Line Road. A buried vault will be placed on each end. They are also plowing in fiber for 1.5 mile going east along north back slope of ditch along East State Line Road, located in the southwest 1/4 section 37 Township -1 North Range -8 East Liberty Township. Number eight, utility permit number 1089 to Windstream Nebraska Inc. will be boring in 300 feet of replacement cable 20 foot below flow line of existing culvert, 3 foot inside of south right-of-way, and splicing into existing cable in south shoulder of road located in northwest 1/4 section 34 Township -5 North Range -6 East Holt Township. Number nine, utility permit number 1090 to Windstream Nebraska Inc. will be boring in 200 feet of replacement cable 12 feet below existing culvert and road surface in the east shoulder of road. We'll place new pedestal along east right-of-way and tie into existing cable on the east shoulder of the road, located in the northwest and southwest 1/4 section 31 Township 5 North Range 7 East Hanover Township. Approved 2018 Gage County Highway Department policies with townships.
Move to approve as presented with correction to item 7, section 35, Township 1 North Range 8 East, instead of 37.
I read that wrong. Thank you.
I'm here for you, Myron.
Good. The only one I had was number 8 there. They're going to bore something in 20 feet below the surface of the culverts.
That's on their permit, yes.
Yep. That seems awful deep, but then if that's what they're doing, that's what they're doing. So.
Yep. Second.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Hill.
Who are the caretakers on the cemetery? Is this your same caretaker?
Yes.
No changes.
The Boy Scout Troop 221. They take care of 11 of them. I think it's Jesse Shale takes care of Pleasant Hill and Upson. Daniel Barr has Zion Brunsbuck in Liberty Township, and Gail Schuster is doing Stark Cemetery.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions? If not, vote. 6-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 18020-1228 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $2,147.50. This brings total of claims approved through February 14th to $427,560.05.
Motion to approve.
Sorry.
Second.
Motion by Jurgens, seconded by Hill. Vote. 5 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. I believe most of you are later here on the agenda. We have a timed event at 9 o'clock for the Veterans Honor. So, if not, we will move on to committee reports. Building ground winter lights.
we have nothing. If we do see, Dave asked me if we do need to go into closed session, as you did in the committee meetings, he would come over, but there's nothing. Nothing new.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Finance and insurance.
Nothing eventful. Basically, we discussed Engage nominations and elections. Elections were last night at the annual meeting. Karen Stowes and Matt Morrissey will be the new representatives.
No.
I'm sorry. Matt Morrissey and James Lenners are the new representatives there. James, they both serve, so Matt will be new to our community and new on Engage, but he's with Black Hills Energy. I don't know what his capacity is in our area, but he's
with Black Matt Hills. Morrissey, I thought you said he was with the biodiesel plant.
No, Black Hills. Black Hills Energy.
Oh, he's with Black Hills.
Yeah, he's with Black Hills Energy. He's our local rep of some sort.
Okay.
And he's really brought, I'll say he's brought customer service back to Black Hills in our area. It's been really nice working with him. But yeah, Matt Morrissey and James will still be on there.
And somewhere, I don't know where, it was still over there or something, we had it's in front of John, brought along the annual report from him last night there that they had, if you want to see it. I think, Matt, one thing might interest you, the first year we had an annual meeting, I remember we had four people that could vote, the city, the county, Cortland and Adams, last night. There are 18 eligible voters now that have contributed enough. So, yeah, it was pretty, I'd say, pretty good meeting, and Walker gave a good report and stuff. And, yes, he has some pretty good goals this year.
And last year, I think there were only, on the slate of candidates, there was only the people that were on already. This year we had seven potentials between city and county. All good candidates, too, which was great to see. But
yeah,
just the recap, really, really similar to what he would have given us for end-of-year recap. But a lot of exciting things happening. It's really nice to hear.
I did forget to bring up in my report. I was gone for committee meetings Monday morning because I had board of Region 5 Systems Board meeting and Region 5 Services Board meeting in Lincoln. And I was reelected president of both of those organizations. So we serve 16 counties in southeast Nebraska, including Lancaster County.
Very
so
good.
You're being represented.
Yep. Terry, you got a list of...
I do, Myron. Not a lot of big-ticket items this time. Ace Irrigation Manufacturing for culverts on the Roads Department, $13,343. Sat Brothers Fuel and Oil, $15,290. And Diode Technology, security cameras installed, $18,368. And that was pulled out of the inheritance fund.
Okay. Anything else for finance?
I suppose this is a good time to ask. SAN, Southeast Nebraska Development District, is going to be requesting a letter from Myron, basically from our board. The 16 counties SEN serves, one of those counties is Cass. Cass is wanting to break away and go with MAPA, which is another development group area. NROC is kind of the governing body that looks over all those. But basically, there's some personality conflicts between Cass County and the former SEN organization. And so they're wanting to break counties, move counties around. If I want to have you sign a letter, I mean, I don't know how in depth you want me to get on that, or if I want you to sign a letter, do we have to make some type of motion, or should I go over that with you sometime?
And if it's something for SAND and if it involves especially funding.
It wouldn't be a funding item for us. It wouldn't change. There would be a deduct to SAND's income from the state if Cass leaves. That'll be somewhat offset by, we got Butler County, I believe, this year back. They had been there but hadn't changed. It's basically more or less the trying to stop counties from moving between development districts. NROC has basically said they don't want to see this happening because otherwise, as soon as the next mayor or commission doesn't get along with one person on a development district board, then that can you know, make the zones change again. And it, the way the state has it set up, they're not really supposed to change. They're more or less set as these areas.
And I'll rephrase it. If it's policy or anything like that, or funding or anything like that, then yeah, we should have it come here and we'll put it on the agenda and approve it that the chairman can sign it.
I'll send some information over to Don on that. I was supposed to have it last week, and I just got it yesterday about 3:00.
Send that to Don, and we'll talk about that at committee meetings, and then if we need to, we can decide and put that on the agenda then.
And I might just suggest, because it involves personalities, as you indicate, probably talk about it in closed session before you maneuver to a public hearing where you will express whatever decision you made. But like I said, you know, where it involves personalities, you may not want to back one horse or the other.
The letter won't say anything about personalities. It's more or less a different form letter that's going to go to each of the counties, not just in Sand, but throughout NROC, because although right now it doesn't affect anybody, say, out west or in the central part of the state, as soon as we turned it around and said, well, what if we want this county to be part of our development group? Well, immediately they said, well, that's not right. I said, well, it's kind of the same thing here. So we'll be covering, I mean, between Kurt and I, we'll be doing our area, contacting each of the boards, chairs, clerks, but then they'll be talking to the rest of the boards throughout the state, I believe, within the next week or so, because right now this is in the legislature. It's just trying to get some pushback before anything changes. But I'll get information over to you and Don and probably Roger.
Good. Anything else for finance? Human resource, employee relation?
Nothing.
And law enforcement, emergency management. We have 3 minutes, Gus, so.
I'll be real quick.
You always are.
Just a quick update on, I talked about yesterday on the Purple Wave on the old gas sign over here at the old bus stop. They said they don't have really a lot of work or ability to sell it just by itself, but he said if you have stuff to throw into it with it, like we don't use those gas pumps and I'm not doing that. I talked to Galen, if he's got some things, it might be able to bundle thing, might do a little better. But by itself, probably not too good of luck with it. So he said he'd double-check it and let me know for sure, but that's kind of what they found out in the past. So security stuff, we can do a closed session. We want later, we talk about it at committee meeting. So.
I don't know that we have anything emergency management-wise, but as far as planning and zoning, one thing that Lisa did bring up on Monday that probably should remind the public is that to give a call before you come into the office for planning and zoning to make sure that Lisa's going to be in the office. And then also, if she isn't in the office, she can come up to the clerk's office to touch base there also. So just a couple of things probably the public should be reminded of.
Well, and if they do come in and they're down there in the hallway, there's a table out there that directs you up to the clerk's office or also directs some phone numbers. Lisa's put her cell number on there. So if they need to, there is still a way to contact somebody. But she isn't always in the office, and we don't always have somebody else there and stuff just because of different projects or things she'll be going to. But don't want to miss anybody. We want to make sure that somehow we get them contacted yet. So if somebody wants to come in and build, great. Let's get their project, you know, on track and going. So we'll say one other quick thing. They had the zoning board met last night again. This Lonnie from Hannah Keeneland was down, and this was at one time originally going to be the last time, or they've had the four meetings with Lonnie. However, they did have Lonnie brought down a preliminary draft or rough draft of, with some changes to the comprehensive plan last night. They had a lot of discussion on it. I only made it the last 15 minutes, so this is kind of an update on where they're sitting at yet. They're going to have at least one more meeting, maybe two, so that they as a board can discuss it yet before they have their public hearing. They will have, when they get those two, I call it the zoning regulations and the comprehensive plan, when they get those updated, then they will be having a public hearing on that and stuff. So, and then at that time, make the decision to forward that onto the board. So we're still looking at a little bit more time out there. That's a lot more involved. I'll just say this. that board. I know John's been to several of the meetings. That board has had a lot of good discussion. They've had some in-depth looks at, are we as a county doing what, are those regulations and the comprehensive plan doing what they're intended to be or whatever. So they're working on that. I'll just say this. I think it is a lot bigger project than what maybe any of us thought or whatever. They did have last night, they had part of Cumming County's current zoning regulations too that would had some interest in adding parts of that to ours or whatever and stuff. So that part of that, when I was here yet, they still had a discussion on that. So it's taking some time, but now they all have the proposal and they all have that to look at, and then they're going to come back at the next meeting and have some discussion on that again. So they are working their way through it. It's just taking a little bit longer than what what I thought it was going to take. But they are doing a really good job of looking at it and having discussion. So we do have a timed event here. It is 9:01 on the clock. We have a Veterans Honor again for Walter Vitesch. So, Bill?
Good morning. Again, it's an honor to present the Honored Veteran of the Month. And just so you know, Matt's program that he started so many years ago has gone on to Jefferson County now has an Honored Veterans program also. So it's catching on, Matt. But today, we're here to honor Walter Vitesch, lifetime resident of Gage County. Walter served in the United States Army from September 10th of 1952 to June 10th of 1954. The awards that he received was the National Defense Service Medal, United Nations Service Medal, Korean Service Medal with one Bronze Service Star, and I'm sure there's others included with that, but they're not listed on his discharge. He served with B Battery of the 92nd AFA Battalion in Korea. At this time, I'd like to introduce Walt.
If you'd like to take a picture, come on up back here, too, and stuff. So, Walt, the podium's yours. We'd sure, if you'd like to make any comments, you're sure more than welcome.
I'm really overwhelmed what's happening to me, you know, thinking that with my age I am now, that this probably wouldn't have come about, but it has. And I've really appreciated what it's been going through for me. I don't know who's all responsible for me getting here. I think Terry had a little bit to do with that. He's a local man that I grew up with, kind of. And Phil, and it's something I'll never forget. What's going on here today? Yeah, it's most of my family is here. My daughter's two of them back there. Yeah, it's
we as a board, and this is a program that Matt started, like Phil said, several years ago, and we as a board, it's one of the great honors that we have as a board that we get to honor some of our veterans, because it's without you and the service that all of you have done, we may not be here and may not be able to do what we're doing. Yeah. So I know sometimes a lot of them say that it's something they maybe don't deserve or whatever, but at the same time, the county, everybody, the board, we really appreciate what you, the service people, have done for us and for our county and for our nation. I mean, it's thank you. That's what yes. about all we can say. And I think Terry has a little something from the board that
Jeannie, Dad didn't see Jeannie till she was how old, Dad?
9 months old when
I
saw her.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was there and she was.
I got word from the Red Cross that I was a papa to a daughter. Yes. No.
So some of the shows that they have on MASH are pretty real then, you know, and stuff, because they'll have... Every now and then they'll have a show, too, with something like that somebody's a dad or whatever and things going on back home.
Yeah. No. She turned out okay. She must have had a real good mommy also.
I've known Walt for a long time, a long time. Yeah. I can't think of a better recipient for this award than Walt Bidosh. So, Walt, on behalf of the county, I would like to give you these small tokens of appreciation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Terry.
Yeah. See you, Walt.
Most of you, not all of you.
And thank you for your family coming along, too. That's great. Thank you. Was there anything else for law enforcement or emergency management? I think we're pretty much done.
Got it.
Good deal. Okay. Terry, Road and Bridge.
All right. Of course, we have an esteemed guest here today to present with us later on in the meeting the 1 and 6.
Galen's at every meeting.
Did you say esteemed guest?
Yeah, I said esteemed.
Oh, my gosh.
The annual township meeting will be held March 1st at 7 o'clock at the Extension office. Galen's handed out our 1 and 6 literature. Everybody can go through that, and Mark will go through that more extensively today. Only change in the township policies was the change for office hours at the highway department, open till 4 now, 7 to 4, and Adams Northwest Bridge letting will be March 29th with a completion date of November of 2018. Hope that stays on the course.
Yes.
Those are the highlighted things.
And I think I forgot to write it in there. I was so excited when Gary told us about the fact that there may be on Hickory Road at the railroad track, they may be unloading some stuff.
Really?
Got a crane out there to unload some of the things. So.
Well, maybe in a few years we'll get that done.
A few years.
2040, I think.
You'll have to re-up.
Yeah, the one other thing, Gaydon, I'd ask Gaydon that day, too, because I have a lot of people up in my area asking about 41. And maybe Mark knows even something about it. You know, they were originally going to put 41 out for bids and work on the bridges this year. And at one time, it was like in March or April, but we haven't heard anything since then. So don't know for sure yet if that's still on for this year. I know they're out there measuring and stuff, putting flags in the ground and stuff. But anything else for Road and Bridge?
I did go out and drive the Holmesville Blacktop. And that same day, I had to drive Pickerel East. So I was driving both of those in the Adams Philly Road. I think out of those three, between Philly and Adams, Holmesville North, and Pickerel East, the Holmesville Pride Road is nice as any of them. I was really surprised, but I'm sorry, John. But the one that was the worst was Pickerel East. It was horrible. It beat the tar out of me. Because I ran both of them. I ran empty on each of those roads, and I ran loaded on each of them. And I figured loaded, I would have smoothed it out some, but I didn't.
Were you overweight?
You know I was. But, no, it was – I was really surprised. I didn't realize how bad Pickerel East was. The Holmesville Road did have snow in the ruts, so like you said, we're –
That's what I was going to say. It rode nice because you had snowpack in the ruts.
No, come on. But, no, it was amazing, the amount of water, too. I mean, and I don't know, eventually we'll look at that as a safety issue, too, but the amount of water coming off the tires on Holmesville North because of that cupping, it really did. I mean, it pounded the cars as you would go by them. But no, the ride on Pickerel East, I was really surprised how bad that one was compared to the other two.
But I haven't driven Holmesville with water on it. I've just driven it when it's been dry. It's great. Still a good road, but I haven't driven it when it's wet. So I tried. I've driven up three times.
John, maybe they just need to ride in your vehicle or something.
No, it's more than my vehicle.
It's more than your vehicle. No, I know it.
Get your tires balanced.
Sorry, John. Well, but I did go out and look at them.
Yeah. Who encouraged you to drive that?
I did.
Supervisor Hill.
But like you said, it was still snow-packed when you drove. Yeah.
There was snow in there, in the low spots.
There's a lot of rutting there.
Oh, not quite. We have a timed event at 9:15. Anything else for Roden Bridge? If not, we'll move on. We have a timed event for 9:15, and it's 9:10 on the clock, so we'll wait with the public hearing for the 1- and 6-year plan, but it looks like we will move on to approve or disapprove the county bridge match program agreement between Gage County and State of Nebraska Department of Roads. And Galen, we each got a copy of that, but if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle.
Yeah, this is a county bridge match program agreement for what they call round two of the county bridge match program. And out of our submittal of the projects, we did get two projects, and these are culvert replacement projects for timber bridges. And one is north of 35 Liberty. It's a timber bridge that's going to be replaced with triple 120-inch culverts. And the other one is east of 16 Island Grove. It's a timber bridge is going to be replaced with the triple 108-inch of a 55-foot culverts. This is the agreement for those. The estimated cost on 35 North 35 Liberty was $138,800. The estimated cost on the one east of 16 Island Grove was $131,600, and the state's funding on the east of 16 Island Grove is estimated at $72,380, and the prior one on 35 Liberty, the state's funding split will be $76,340. And there's also, with that, there will be for this agreement, there is a resolution that goes along with this on those.
And the last project we were in on this bridge match, we were the lead county, and in both of these projects this time, we're not the so-called lead county?
No. No, we're not the lead county. I believe it's Johnson County is the lead county.
Johnson County. In other words, I mean, this is something we're approving so that they will end up, maybe Mark can explain that too, I guess. So.
Yeah, they've changed this agreement a little bit. Last time, one county was the lead and all the money funneled through.
Oh, okay.
And what that did is it screwed up everybody's budgets. But this time, the money supposedly is funneling directly to the county's participation. What they didn't include in here, which you're going to see a revision, is we're obligated to let these and tie them with our partnering counties. So there'll be an interlocal agreement for our lead county acting on our behalf accept the bid for us. And, of course, Roger, you'll get a chance to look at that, but it's similar to last time. But there won't be any money. We had to hold all the money last time and then distribute it out, made a mess.
So is the estimate on our cost about $120,000 on that totally?
So what it is the state will pay 55%.
Yep.
We're putting it in, so our labor, equipment, and incidentals are in that estimate. Basically what they did last time is they bought the culverts for us. We put them in as in-kind. So they had talked about us tracking all of our costs to see if the pipes are truly 55% of the cost of the whole project. So we'll have to submit that, and then we'll see. But the way it's written, I mentioned that, although that's what they told us we had to do, they're just paying 55% of that estimated cost. But we have to submit our invoices.
Again, I'm looking at a dollar amount roughly that will be our share.
It's already built in the budget because it's our people. Yep. So it would be 45% of this total.
We were just a little over $270,000 adding them up. And Denny's right. The state's going to pay approximately the $148,700.
Right.
So we're going to be around $120,000 to $125,000, the county.
Labor and equipment. It's already built in our budget.
Already built in our budget.
Mark, if that other county accepts our bids, do they accept them and then they come to us for approval?
The bids. It's not clear here. So if they accept them, or if they take the bids, we'll verify, make sure you guys are okay with them. And then the way it's written, we'll just have individual contracts. We'll just let them all at the same time. One guy gets all the supply.
Well, with the project we're doing this year, the first one that happened actually, Gage County actually, if the proposals would have came out and we would have bid it ourselves, assuming we were actually a little bit cheaper on another one, but because of the whole project, it was quite a bit cheaper to go with the one that they accepted. So I think that's kind of what he's referring to.
Yeah, that's the only reason you've got these selected is because we're bundling. Because they're looking at the overall cost.
Yep.
That's
well, they did the first project we had. They saved money by bundling them because that was still the cheapest route to go, even though for the county, for Gage County, but yet this benefit for Gage County or any of them doing these projects is 55% funding from the state, which is huge. Because here's $148,000 that now is not coming out of our budget.
Absolutely
huge.
Absolutely. So this is the second. They did 4 million the first time. 4 million here. They have 40 million to spend, and they're running out of time. So the next go round, I suspect, will be bigger, because they only have so much time. The legislature got to spend the money. We can't get it out there. Quit this spoon feeding stuff.
We have a little bigger project in an area by Holmesville that someone would really like on there and get approved. So,
the president is asking Congress to do relative to infrastructure. Has anybody looked at what kind of effect that has on Nebraska?
Well, I've been trying to follow it and listen to the hearings and whatever. The problem is I don't think the president quite understands what it takes to get federal funds to the ground. They're not just going to hand the locals the money because it's going to go through the same process we have. And he mentioned the other day in his big meeting with all the state representatives that, you know, we'll use the existing systems in place. Well, that means it's going to go through the Federal Highway Administration, it's going to go through the state of Nebraska, and it's going to be a federal aid job, which means
The county's going to get stuck for paying for it still.
Here's the problem. Is Adams Northwest built? When did you sign that up?
Oh, God.
99?
How many designs were there on that?
That's the program he's talking about funneling money to. So NEPA documents at this point cost as much or more than engineering now. So should be a grant like this. This is brilliant.
I've always found in these kind of situations, typically, the devil is in the details.
Yeah.
Terry had a question yet.
Mark, I remember at the annual meeting, there was, I believe, been too long to remember, but there was approximately $28 million requested for this second round, and there was just $4 million that was approved.
For this bridge match program.
For the bridge match program.
For this year.
Yes.
For this year, yeah.
Yeah, the states decide, the DOT is they don't want to flood the market with too much money. But if you look at the amount of maybe a quarter of them got funded that were submitted.
That's what I'm getting at. I mean, we have the project from before on the Odell Blacktop, and now these two projects now. Either we're lucky or you guys are doing a hell of a job.
What we've done is if you come to my office, I have a map of everybody who's requested, how much they've gotten, how they submitted, how they're scored, and then I'm looking at if you had just looked at distributing the money based on the need, deficient square foot of bridge, et cetera. And then we've looked at that and tried to put together packages that make sense with that, assuming that's what they're looking at, and then packaging them accordingly. That's why you saw culvert packages, box culvert packages, and bridge packages that we put together with different partners. And in this case, most of that got selected were these culvert jobs. Well, I think the states finally looked at it and said, it makes complete sense. This is the cheapest way to get those off those lists. So I'd whack all these off before I went to the box culverts and then to the bridges. So a lot of counties won't use these large tubes in lieu. They'll put small box culverts in at three times the cost.
But they'd have at least twice the lifespan, right?
No, these things are, we got tubes in there 50 years that you pull them out, and they look like you put them in yesterday. It's all about the soil and what's upstream. If I'm downstream of a hog lot, I'm not going to put tubes.
But a hog lot may move in above you.
Maybe. But I don't agree with, I got box culverts that are they going to last 100 years? If I take 25% of the cost to put a tube in, 50 years from now, I got money to put another set of tubes in there, John.
Boy, I see a lot of them rusted out, though. I mean,
where?
Well, we replaced several of them on the PWF road.
Okay. How long were they there?
I don't know how long they were there.
There's different coatings. Those pipes may not have been coated. The lifespan aren't of concrete, but for the cost, you have no choice. If I go with box culverts like we used to, you guys would you'll run out of money. Our hands are tied.
On this next go around, that narrow bridge on Holmesville South, is that going to be on the request?
We'll resubmit it again. Yes. Yeah, it was submitted on this last go around, but we never got it.
That one is pretty narrow.
Yeah, we'll resubmit and repack it.
What's our odds of getting that any time in the future? Because, like you say, they're wanting to do culvert projects, not bridges.
Well, Rock and Loup County have maybe 20 bridges between them, and most of them are fairly new, and they got one between them because of the importance to the community. So, we write a dissertation on why it's important.
Yeah,
why we picked it, and then they supposedly have a committee to go through it. So we just got to make sure that's the one.
But are you hopeful you can get it anytime soon or not?
Well, I would hope. I think if you see a bunch of people. See, last time a bunch of culverts got, all the culverts got funded, so you saw a lot of counties come in with culverts this time because they got passed over last time. So I think you'll see a lot of those, but you know, culverts are only good for the smaller drainage areas.
Right.
Eventually we're going to run out of them.
Well, there's a lot of little bridges out there yet.
Well, that are on this list. You got to understand, they're only looking at the ones the original list they came up with.
Yeah.
They're not looking at all of them. They're just looking at the ones that they said that they felt were eligible for these funds.
But at this rate, it's going to take quite a while to get through that list.
At $4 million a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope to see bigger distribution. Listen, I want to be able to go back and testify at the legislature and say, this is an excellent program, and here's why. Here's how fast these moved. We spent your money efficiently, and all the bridges that we did were bridges that were needed, and were important to the communities. We justified it, and everything was permitted. Everything was done per the standards, and blah, blah, blah. Give us more money. This is the way to do it.
Mark, you were on the board that put the rules together for this. Is that right?
I sat on the committee.
The committee. Yeah, anything you use your insider trading information here and bend this thing for us.
Oh, it's a great program. We just got to keep going.
This was a 10-year program?
I think they had 10 years to spend it all, but the only way to get that done, about year six, it all has to be allocated, otherwise it won't get spent. You know, if you get a bridge, it takes, by the time, if we find out right now that I've got funding and all these approvals go through, it takes, you still got to do your permitting and you still, it's a year and a half.
It was a $40 million grant or funding project. That's what it was. So that, and that's what they're looking to, I guess, work through now. The first year, nothing happened.
That's right.
Because they had to get it set up. And then the first time they did it was $4 million. And then this time again was $4 million in funding. So, but they're, like Mark said, it's supposed to be 10 years. They're supposed to get it done in that time. And so they still have $32 million to fund. But I think they'll work through it. They'll start realizing that sometimes they're going to need to.
And the DOT came back and said, we thought things would go faster. And I said, well, when you make me bundle 5, 6, 7 sites, I have one site that's delayed because of a smaller county or whatever, that whole bundle doesn't get done. So, plus we're not going to drop every other program that we have just because you guys threw us some scraps, because really that's what don't get me wrong, I appreciate it, but we're not looking at huge dollars yet. It's like you got to give us time. And our programs, like today, I can't start on this until you guys approve it. whether there's funds available or not. But so they get it now.
But the first year, the state paid for that first the project down there by Odell, or they're going to pay approximately $100,000 to $110,000, and here they're looking at again $148,000. So in 2 years, each county's coming out of this with approximately $250,000 plus dollars that is not coming out of our budgets, and I think that's the benefit to most of the counties.
Plus, we can use our own labor, our own equipment that's already built into our budget, and these were projects that were on our radar anyway.
Yes.
So it does nothing but extend our program out even further.
Thank you for that.
Myron?
Go
ahead.
No, one more. We had a timed event at 9:15, but it was the 1 and 6 year plan, so these two guys are standing up here anyway. So
I'd just like to have Galen explain. I spoke to him about that Adams Northwest project, and I just found it amusing, I guess, as far as the netting you had told me about, the time frame for that.
Yes, it's scheduled to be let, hopefully it holds true, March 29th. And the Migratory Bird Act, I believe, kicks into effect like April 1st. So, and by the time this is let, and actually the contract let to whoever gets the bid, it'll be after the April 1st deadline. Well, if you have nesting birds in the trees and or under the bridges, then that'll be postponed, I think it's till like September, 1st September. When that period runs out. So Greg Wood with the NDOT had called me and said the county will be responsible for netting the bridge so swallows and stuff can't build nests underneath, and also within the construction area of taking the trees down so we don't have to worry about nesting. Or if you don't do that and there is nesting going on, then your project will be delayed until after I think it's September 1st. Date on that, so we'll be taking care of that.
So Terry, the netting, we can also send somebody out there once or twice a day with a long stick to make sure that if they start nesting, knock it down.
Or a shotgun.
But the tree deal, we'll just lay the trees down, and then the contractor up clean. Well, we'll just get in there and cut them down. There you go.
And we do have a timed event on the agenda. We'll go back and approve these both later, the bridge match agreement and the resolution. We have a timed event. It was supposed to be at 9:15, but 9:27 on the clock. Entertain a motion to go into public hearing for the purpose of hearing support, opposition, criticism, suggestions, or observations relating to the Gage County 1 and 6 year proposed highway improvement plan.
I'll move.
Second.
We have a motion by Team and a second by Byers. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Now we'll turn it back over to Galen and Mark again for a discussion on the 1 and 6.
Well, thanks for having me down.
Said we're going to wait till after we're done here. No, I know we haven't voted on that or the resolution.
You should all have your package. In the package, as in previous years, you have basically the same information. It's a different format. The Board of Classifications and Standards have come up with different forms. Some of them are a little easier to follow. Some of them are still works in progress. So the first report is a report of the previous years, what we got done, what we didn't get done. You can go in and see the tabulated report, or you can go to the map, which is the second document that shows if we're done, if we're delayed, if we drop the job. So where we came up with a lot of what we're going to present to you today, Galen and I spent a lot of time. Galen spent a ton of time looking. We look at our infrastructure, we look at our needs, we take what you guys have told us and gals have told us over the year, and digest it, and then look at what we think we can accomplish. And if you look at a lot of the 1 year from last year, which is the first map in your document, we got a lot done. Now, there's a lot that are in there that say delayed. Some of those are delayed because they were submitted for the CBMP program. They didn't get selected, but we wanted them on the 1 year last year in case we've got something, and now we're holding back. But generally, the county and the county staff did an excellent job on accomplishing what we said we wanted to do last year in the 1 year. The next document is a list of the actual projects with location, brief description, and estimated costs. We have a lot of, and we'll turn to the map here in a second, which is your second map. And the red numbers are the one-year program. The black numbers are the six-year program. The red ones are the ones that we think that we fiscally can bind this next year and try to accomplish if all goes well, knowing very well that some of these were some of the CBMP projects that we submitted and didn't get, but we left on there because we're going to resubmit them. If you go to the rest of the packet, you'll see that these are the what we used to call Form 7s, and as you go through here, there's actually three versions of these because they keep changing the form. If you go to the very back, you see the latest and greatest, and it basically it's a description of the job and estimate. And then we have to declare to the state and to our constituents whether it's maintenance, it's 3R, or if it's reconstruction. And we, over the previous years, have talked about the standards we have to follow for all these. Now we tell them what segments of these are for each one and declare it and be able to show it on this form. The State Board of Classifications now has staff, and they do review these, where in the previous years they had not been reviewing them. So they do go through review and comment as we go through. The map I got here is in your book, but it's not color-coded, and all I wanted to do is go on here and show by category. So we've got the Adams Gorge West project in pink are the bridges that we were trying to accomplish. One was on the Holmesville Road that was mentioned earlier. And then, of course, the Adams Northwest. Those are the, when I say bridge, physically going in, smells like bridge, looks like a bridge, not the culvert sites. The concrete box culverts are the purple colors, including some of the CBMP. These are ones that have been tentatively sized for concrete box culverts. Green are the pipes, our small bridge program, which we've been working on and hammering on. And you can see there's quite a few of those. So we have transitioned a couple of years ago, as we discussed, to try to start small and work our way through. We've been doing a good job, and we are going to continue to do that with our staff and in-house work. So that's what we're looking at. And then the blue are shoulder or shoulder work. We haven't identified any asphalt work for this year. Most of the asphalt work, like was discussed earlier, is in the six-year program. And I know John's going to ask some questions for me here in a bit, and we can talk about asphalt. So we've identified which projects we think in the six-year that as soon as there's consensus and fiscally bound, we'll be able to start looking forward at maintaining that asphalt. So a lot of the blue in here is shouldering for some of the previous asphalt jobs we have. And
these are the projects for the 1 and 6?
These are the 1 and 6, yes. The color code is even the 6 years. You can't see here, but they're dark. Like these box culverts are in the 6-year program.
It doesn't look like there's anything on that Claytonia South Bridge. Is that something we need to look at putting on the 1 and 6, or is that just going to be a repair that'll last?
That should be in the 6-year plan.
It's on this map in the book, yeah.
Okay. Well, I was looking on here.
C-341017.
So our intent with that one is to continue turning in, but we've got a repair plan that we want to fix those floor beams mm-hmm. with. And our guys can do it, but I don't want them to do it in the wintertime. I want them to get out there after the spring floods, because they're going to have to get up underneath there and basically build up those floor beams.
But that is on there. I was looking at your color codes. I didn't see anything pink up over that.
Well, that would just be a maintenance.
Oh,
project. But that's what I mean. Not the maintenance. I know we have to do that. Do you think you can repair that where we can make that bridge last then?
Yeah, we think we can push it down the road further.
Like how far down the road?
Well, not forever. But what we can do is reinforce the floor beams. Basically, you've seen the bridge, so the bottom flanges are rotted out, or the web. So we'll put a big channel in on both sides and bolt it in there and temporarily.
I talked to Galen about a temporary permanent fix. I just didn't know if that was going to stretch us out past the 6-year, or
Well, it probably will.
10 years?
We need to be getting serious about it. There's other issues with the bridge other than just the structural capacity. It's the actual channel itself and meandering of the channel and the width and everything else.
It's going to be an expensive one, too.
That's going to be a big thing.
But how much expense are these repairs going to be for the Claytonia Bridge and the Holmesville Bridge?
The repairs?
Yeah.
Well, they'll be with our staff, so the biggest thing will be the materials.
That'll make them free. I mean, we still got to account for our staff time.
I agree, but you're looking at materials, probably $25,000-$30,000.
Of material.
And labor time.
And labor.
Okay. Majority of that's engineering.
Yeah.
No, that's on top of it. I don't know. The engineer's pickup's pretty dirty. I saw a contractor out there shining. Shining. Yeah.
It's on that side.
Oh.
Yeah, it's over there.
You saw it too, huh? You had to...
He's gotten so he parks it on the corner so everybody can see it now. Oh. So, yeah.
And I guess my question, back to our earlier conversation about those bridges, I mean, if we're never going to get... If it looks like that bridge match program ain't going to happen for the bridges anytime soon, are we just putting these off? Should we go ahead and... Because we'll always have timber bridges or box culverts to submit to the plan.
Of course, I can't... You don't know what that committee's thinking, but if I'm sitting on that committee and I can get two versus one,
yep.
You know, and they cap us at $150,000, and the replacement of those bridges are going to be... significant $500,000, $600,000 bridges at least.
And if, you know, if I'm looking at this, this bridge south of Holmesville is carrying more traffic than these two culvert projects by long ways. And they're all in my district. But.
Yeah, the problem is it's going to be a deal where it deteriorates to the point to where we're just going to get the letter. It's going to be this bridge needs to be closed.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're behind the gun because it's going to take 6 months to get the replacement started.
Right.
Versus having the planning and getting ready to go. So
that's why I question if we should wait for the state bridge match on.
Our plan has been, well, we submitted it. We didn't get it. We'll resubmit it, but do maintenance. We have the ability with our bridge crew to do some reasonable maintenance to secure the safety of the structure. Move forward with getting the replacement design done, resubmit in the fall, and then have this discussion if we get turned down again.
Okay.
But don't wait. Have it permitted and ready to go, and then we'll know exactly what the cost is going to be, and then we decide where we're at financially and then how it lays with the rest of them.
And the Claytonia project doesn't qualify for the bridge match program anyway, right? Claytonia Bridge does not qualify for the bridge match?
I don't remember. No. That one's, for whatever reason, it's not
too long.
They put a list together, and they can't tell us how or why, but they won't change that list till the next program, being the next legislative, because that's the list they submitted.
Right. And this is a 10-year program?
I think all the money has to be spent within 10 years from when they passed it, so we're in actually year three. But it'll be year eight. They better have the money allocated well before year eight. So if they do $4 million a year, we won't get the money spent.
Nope.
Matt? I have more of a 30,000-foot question here. I've been sitting in one of these chairs for probably 10 years. In your assessment and what you've done throughout the state of Nebraska, with the amount of projects we're able to get done, 1- and 6-year projects, with the amount of dollars we're spending and taxpayers' dollars that we're taking every year, how efficient do you think we are?
I think you guys are extremely efficient. A lot of you were sitting here when we kind of Shanghai Galen to come in, and my spiel was once we kind of convinced him it was the job for him, I told you that I would slowly disappear, and that's happened because the efficiency's there. That doesn't mean Galen and I don't talk all the time and I don't hover and watch. If I felt for even 1 minute there were some efficiencies we weren't doing, I'd be back here pounding on the fist saying we've got a problem. So I'm working in other counties doing similar things, but even more detail than what I did with you guys in your road department. And I use you guys as an example and a model all the time. Are there efficiencies? There's always efficiencies, but I got to count on the foreman and the highway superintendent to find those efficiencies and look at it. But I would say that the money that we're spending in this county, particularly the way we're spending it, is thoughtful and easily defended.
And with the dollars that we do spend and the projects we do, would you, in your assessment, would you say that you believe that there's value added to the community and to the taxpayers?
Oh, absolutely. Infrastructure is the backbone. Eisenhower said it's the backbone of our country, you know. And I couldn't agree. The worst thing I like to see is even the most minor roads closed, because it limits the use of that land from now and forever. And there are studies out there showing that even if you have average daily traffic of 5 vehicles, it pays long-term to leave those roads open, just because of the commerce. If you look what goes into our every quarter of land from the farming coming in and coming out, it's not necessarily the number of vehicles. It's the millions of dollars that come out of those fields that we need to take a look at. When you look at state highways, they look at average daily traffic and whatever. When I look at ours, I look at millions of dollars in every square mile coming in and out of those things between cattle and hogs and corn and soybeans and everything else. So you got to look at it a little differently. When you hear the big boys talking about it, they're just talking about raw numbers of vehicles. I-80 is just raw numbers of vehicles. They don't even talk about the billions of dollars of commerce that come down that. That's how you got to look at our county road system. So I would say yes.
And as who are the big wigs you're talking about?
The what?
Who are the big wigs you just referred to?
Oh, you're talking about at the state level, you state senators, and because those big numbers, the ADTs, oh, my gosh, we got 500, we got 5,000, we got 50,000 cars a day. Then I come in there and say, I need $200,000 for a road that's got 5 ADT. Well, first of all, it's got 5 ADT because I can't drive down it because I don't have infrastructure. But that average daily traffic. Now, let's talk about the commerce that road opens up. So if to go back to your question, we have thoughtfully looked at each region and their needs to spread the infrastructure around. So that if there's an area where there's a congested area here and down here, that there's options for everybody, and we're kind of spreading it out evenly across the county. So each constituent out here sees improvements. So we spend a lot of time, how do I get from here to here and there to here, and you can't do this and I can't do that, and what if we did this? So We over the years we've spent a lot of time putting that together, and you guys have been part of it and allowed it. So I don't know what changes we'd make. Eventually we'll run out of the projects that our staff can do, and we're going to have to start investing into contractors as time goes on, like John's mentioned, and start looking. But we'll see how the budgets work out over time.
I think it'll be a long time before our staff, what they're able to do, it'll be a long time before you run out of some
there's
of those projects.
There's more out there than you even
imagine. Well, when we at one time here had, 340, 350 bridges in the county, you know, there's a lot of smaller bridges that still can be worked on. So, I mean, but the money, if you had money, yeah, well, then our crew couldn't keep up with
that's
it.
That's right.
But
Myron, the big thing to remember is I can't drive over a small crappy bridge any more than a big crappy bridge. Right. So if we get more little ones, that gives me some options up in the upper basins to get around if I absolutely have to. So I can do one Blue River bridge, or I can do 20 smaller bridges. So
I know this wouldn't be on the 1 and 6 because it's a maintenance item, but we really tried to catch up on armor coating. Was it last year or the year before? Last year, did we finish up armor coating?
Yeah.
Yes,
we did. In 17. Is there any value in, I just saw Monday we had a report. They did the tarring on the Christ Lutheran blacktop. They had 81 boxes of tar on that because the cracks are starting to pull apart. Different roads we've looked at, and they're starting to split and alligator crack. Is there any value in fog coating these periodically in between? I wanted to ask you about that because that's something that we could get oil shipments. We've got a distributor truck. The guys could do that themselves.
So the difference between a fog seal and the armor coat is the armor coat gives me the friction on top of the fog seal. I mean, that's really the difference. So at the right time of the year, fog sealing helps seal. The alligator cracking indicates a bearing issue typically.
That's not drying out. See, I didn't know that was from losing oil.
That's usually fatigue and bearing. So there's different failures. So if you see the line that goes down the wheel line, that's fatigue from the wheel pumping it. If you see alligator cracking, that's usually because we've lost some bearing or it got wet down below. The rutting is actual a pavement problem where it's gone plastic, it's turned into peanut butter, and the air voids are actually out of it, so it can't distribute the stress, so it becomes like a thick peanut butter. So that's why the rutting. So you got to stop that. You got to modify what's there. And we'll talk about your roads here in a second, John. So as we assess these, now the thermal cracks or the transverse cracks, the ones that go across the road, those are called thermal cracks generally. And that's usually because the pavement is reacting differently than the soils beneath it. So if you get into places where there's a different soil types or like sand, you don't get near the thermal crack, you still get it. But when we're building on clays over time, they open up to relieve themselves. So there's different things you can do. If you can get them quicker, we got to do a crack repair. Once you start feeling the thud, 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 now I have bearing failure at those. So eventually what we'll have to do is go in there and core those out with a mill head, hot mix patch, full depth, and then seal those cracks on either side. So to stop that, which we do before we overlay usually. So, I mean, we're just going to have to get more extensive in our fog seal wouldn't stop any of that. So what you want to look at for the fog seal is you want to rejuvenate that upper inch of asphalt or so because the sun and the rain washes our oil away. And then you get long-term pavement problems from that. So we used to fog seal all the time.
Why do we stop?
Because people, if there's dew the next day, people are in the ditch.
Yeah.
Because it's just until it gets dirty and.
It's cheap, isn't it? Wouldn't that be a cheap way?
Well, it's the oil. It's similar oil. The cost would be similar. And then we just started putting the driving surface on it, the Armacoat, so people didn't drive off into the ditch.
And I would also think the fine gravel somewhat protects the road from the UV light.
It does. Plus, some of those micro cracking you're talking about, if it's rolled properly, gets shoved down in there and it buys you a little bit of time.
Well, I know it's not a substitute. I just didn't know, as we're getting caught up on Armacoat, if we should supplement with that on that in-between. If we're going to try to Armacoat at 5 to 7, try to hit it, you know, 3 to...
Yeah, if you guys get to a 5 to 7 on Armacoat, you're way ahead of the game.
I mean, I think we're close on that now, aren't we?
We were caught up at last year. Now the cycle is going to start over again.
So usually when I'm looking at Armacoat, and I'm looking at it real hard at 10 years to Armacoat. So if we push the Armacoat out, that fog seal would be something you'd do in between.
If we stay at 7 years shooting for that, there's no reason
to. I know. You'll just end up with a big buildup of oil. See, that's the other thing you got to remember is you have too much of it, and then you get, because it's a different binder, so you start building up all kinds of Armacoat, you actually create a problem for yourself because you got too much oil on top. Then it starts stripping and it schmooze out. So it's kind of a, you don't just arbitrarily do it. You should look at it at that time frame, that, you know, 8 to 10 year time frame and say, yes, it's time. And like John, if there's not money to do major repairs, that wheel rutting is a major safety concern, and I heard it in your discussion. Some of the things that you can do is they have thin lift products that fill in the rut, or you go and you mill the ruts down and then you Armacoat on top of it. So at least you get the rut out of there. It's going to continue to rut, but what will happen is you don't have that hydroplaning activity.
And this road has got both the rutting and it's got the thumping. And when you get that light rain there, you just got those, that width, just sitting full of water, I mean, you've got the vertical, but you've got the crossways.
Yeah, and that's a problem. Yeah. So, and there's things you can do just to push it down the road, and one of them is to do a fine-tooth mill and then Armacoat it on top. That gets rid of the ruts. Doesn't fix anything else. It doesn't do anything structurally, but it gets rid of the safety issue of the hydroplaning. So the other is the state's gone to a thin lift where they actually fill the wheel rut in there with a a mastic material in there. I'm not a real fan of that just because the people on motorcycles, if they leave even a ridge, their tire hits that.
Yeah.
That scares me.
But you do see some of that around the state anymore.
You do.
As you drive. Yeah,
yep.
You see some of that.
Yep.
They've gone to that.
NDOR started using that mastic on cross joints, too, transverse joints. Have you seen that? Some,
yeah, they are. The state repairs things a little differently than we do, but they'll go in and route it out. The problem is when you feel that thud, you've now, the crack has not only failed, but it's starting to, the material is washing out. So if all you do is fill that in, 2 years later, I got thud again. So you got to get that out, you got to dry out that hole, and then pack new material in there to basically make it's packed.
I think like Craftco's saying 5 to 7 years. I know the state did a bunch last year. I was curious if you guys are watching that at all.
We are, and that material that they've got, it's pretty pricey. So we're watching that. I met with those guys to see, but they're pretty proud of it right now.
Plymouth, I think, just did a mastic project 2 years ago, and I haven't looked at that yet, but I was curious to see how that's I didn't know in a residential area like that if it would hold in better than
highway. Well, it's all those thermal cracks. It's all about the movement more than it is the pavement. But if you know anybody from York County, ask them about it because they did a bunch and they're redoing some stuff. So, but I went and looked at it. I don't think it was done properly.
And Eric is also right on the east half of the Pickerel East Road.
Yeah.
There's a very significant thump there. It's very significant.
So budgets are everything. So, a matter of fact, next Tuesday I'm speaking at the asphalt symposium down in Lincoln about making how do locals make decisions on their asphalt. So my first slide is a dartboard with, you know, because that's how a lot of them do it. And then the second one is somebody scratching their head on a budget. So, I mean, those are the drivers. But the questions you guys ask are way above board is for what most people, because you're educating yourselves on the processes that are available and what the costs are. So you're way ahead of the game. The issue is what are our options? Our options are let it continue to deteriorate, put it back to gravel, and that's usually driven by economic forces and the traffic numbers.
And these three roads that are on our list to do, the Holmesville Road and the Pickerel Road and the O'Dell Road, are not our low-traffic roads.
I agreed.
By any means.
Right. So you'll hear a lot of supervisors and commissioners talking about putting roads back to gravel and nobody cares. Well, that's because we let them go to hell so bad that they're just collecting something smooth.
Mark, earlier you made the comment that someday you would run out of small projects. Are we to the point then where maybe next year or the year after you start looking at let's do 5 or 8 less small projects and now we go do one of the bridge or the roads or...
What I was alluding to is I'm a lot younger than all you guys, so
no, you're not. Not that one over there.
Could you repeat that one more time?
No, I'm afraid. So, yeah, I think as time goes on, we'll start identifying.
That's where we'll be in the contract with this gentleman.
Yes.
Oops.
Contract? I thought this was pro bono.
Well, there are donuts here. As we look at the priorities, eventually they're going to start.
They will start to shift.
And we get a lot of that from your comments, you know.
Yeah. But I mean,
these major, there's two truss bridges that are, you know, they're on our radar. We know they're going to be expensive, but we're going to have to pull the trigger because if they go down, and they're down for 2 years because of timing and permitting and everything, it ain't going to be good.
We aren't to the point, though, on any of the roads where we're going to – I mean, John's talked about this, and we tease him, but once a road goes so far, you're talking total reconstruction instead of just mill and overlays. I think we're basically at that point where there's some of these roads are beyond mill and overlay, or at least portions of them.
If you think of your roads like a curve, and the curve is deteriorating of the road – and when you do armor coats, you push that curve out, and you keep pushing it out. Eventually, you're down the curve so far – that the best you're going to have is just a Band-Aid crappy road. So, and then when you're in that point, then you let it deteriorate so far because we'll mine the existing road and go in with cement treating, lay it back down, and come back with a cap on it, and then we end up with a brand-new road, but we don't lose any of our investment from previous. So sometimes the decision is made based on the traffic number. So if I got 300, 400 cars and very few trucks, I can get by with a, overlay, patch and overlay, because it doesn't need the weight. But if I get down by the, you know, John's Road, where it's a lot of heavy traffic, an overlay may not be the answer, because what's underneath can't support it anymore, because when it was built for way smaller traffic numbers. So we might as well have a long-term strategy that includes grinding the road up in place and laying it down either in a cold in place recycle, a hot in place recycle, and then cap it by mining our own material and leaving it in place, pounding it back down, and then putting a new structure on top. Could be concrete at that time too, whatever's the, you know, thin left concrete or asphalt. So yes, good question, but that's what you got to look at is what are the long term implications of that? Is it going to be car traffic or is it going to be truck traffic? Truck traffic might as well push it down, but be ready to do a major recon.
I've got your pavement assessment, paving assessment you did. I haven't read through it recently, but that's where I wonder how far are we on these roads? Are they actually getting to that point where I assume that first scenario where you're recycling and adding cement and oil, that's basically that industrial process?
Well, yeah, I mean, industrial does it. Others do it. But, yeah, they'll, there's other companies. Hey, so what you do is you grind it up, you leave it in place, and you get it down to quarter-inch size. And there's usually enough residual oil, 2, 3% in there, and then we come in with cement and then BOMAG it in, till it in, add water to it, lay it down, roll it down, get off of it, and it sets up. The long-term problem is anything concrete, what's concrete do?
Cracks.
That crack's going to reflect through. So there's that issue. We used to put lime in there, and it would stiffen it up, and we wouldn't get that cracking. Problem is we just nobody does that anymore. Just the industry's left the state because the state didn't embrace it. So we look at what's around and what's competitive and what we can do. Sometimes if there's enough oil, we'll grind it up and literally just pack the millings back down with just water and come back and put hot mix on top of it, because that was millings act as a base. I mean, Hickory Road had millings underneath. That was just packed back down with water. And you'd drive on it and think, why didn't we just stop here? Well, the problem is long-term it'll bust up and fall apart because it's not sticking together. So each road we look at those, you know, where is it today, where do we want it to be, and what do we want it to hold up, and that's how you make the decision. From there you decide when's the opportune time to do it. Five County, I got a perfect example. They got a road there. They had saved their money. They got the money. They're ready to go. And I came in and assessed the road, and I said, we're not going to do anything here for probably 10 years. And they're like, what are you talking about? We got the money. I said, it's not time. We got 10 years left to do it. I'm going to reconstruct this road. Let's use that money somewhere else. And it's like, we've never heard that before. Well, what you track, because there's all kinds of grain traffic on there, endless. What you guys want to do on there is we can wait. So they have cold mix operation in their county. We put a little bit of cold mix on there, and it's going. We're in like year six, and they're questioning if they need to do it even at year 10. So those strategies you kind of look at as you go. But the plans are done and ready to pull the trigger, and the right-of-way's all got, so when the time comes.
How close are we on these roads, though? I mean, are we within 6 years of needing to fix them?
I think it's time to really start getting serious about it. I mean, a lot of what we do and decisions we're making, obviously, are based on your budget constraints from other things that are going on in your county. Eventually, when those things get hammered out, then we can, you know, we reset. You got some bonds that'll be coming mature here pretty soon. And
those are a ways out, though. They're still 6 years out, aren't they?
The 2013 bond is, yeah, it's got another 5 years, 5-6 years yet, yeah. Before that runs out, the 2013 that we had the 30 miles of overlay. So
okay. That was a big bite of the apple.
Yeah, that helped a lot.
But we should be ready. So when the time gets right, you know, and who knows what the board's going to look like 5 years from now? We may be told to swing the other way. But if we got it all ready to go, the problem with getting it ready too soon, technology changes, things change, contractors change, the rules change. So you want to be cognizant of it, but then put the package together and be ready to go. So we had this discussion just the other day. And I knew, you know, so it's a constant discussion, but it has to be safe until then. And if we have rutting, we should do one of the two things. We should either come in and put that skim coat in between, or we should bid a mill and armor coat.
Okay. Can you give us a list of options to do that? I mean,
sure.
Estimated cost and a length of time it's going to, you know, keep that road in shape.
Could you mill that and not armor coat it? Just mill it? Just mill the rocks out?
You could. My big thing with that is there's a lot of mill heads around, and if you don't have a mill head with enough teeth on it, a fine tooth, it's pretty rough.
Yep.
And it just screams when people drive down it.
You can bid that, though, with a fine lace mill, can't you?
You can.
And if you're going to leave it, that'd probably be the way to do it. I just don't know.
Yeah, you could.
I would think the armor coat on top of it is going to help quite a bit. I mean, it's going to reseal that. And
John, it's not all about you. We can't spend money down there.
I mean, the armor coating is going to be cheaper than the milling.
Probably. A couple of years ago, we did a lot of core samples. What would you say the value of having that knowledge? Because
it's everything. Because
we've never done that before.
When Galen was in the office and I was reviewing your 1 and 6 for a refresher, I grabbed all those and looked at all those cores because I knew John would talk about his road, and I reviewed the cores and where we're at. So that that never goes away. The strength numbers that we calculated never go away. What changes is obviously the age and the traffic numbers and the truck numbers.
And the reason I ask more of these comprehensive questions is, we can sit here and listen to these two gentlemen argue about mill heads and things like that, but the general thing, I think, is the comprehensive approach that we've taken to our infrastructure and trying to make sure that that's in good place. And we've tried to come up with quantitative data, not sure. Just I feel, I think type stuff.
I agree.
And actually, I think that's probably helped us quite a little bit as we've tried to do that.
And as we allow these roads to develop that thumping, as we're calling it, that's going to add a significant cost to that overlay, right?
It's patching. It equates to patching, but the problem is if it's not done perfectly, you got two joints to seal instead of one. But if you maintain it, it's okay. But yeah, it's additional cost. You're going to get thermal cracks no matter what. That's not a traffic related deal. That's an age deal.
Yeah,
you got a lot of that in the road because it's
thumping is an age or is a age deal, right?
The thumping is because those cracks have been there so long, they're curling down because all the dirt's washing out of there.
Cayman thumps. He's getting older now. He's
what do you think about white topping? We've talked about that too on county roads like that.
White topping. If you go to ADM in Columbus right now, you can take a look at a 6-inch white topping that I'm about to pulverize in place and put asphalt on top of it.
Was it done improperly? I don't know. I know Iowa's really doing this. Wyoming's starting.
They are. The problem is where white topping in Nebraska is economical is where there's no asphalt, guys. Because keep in mind, you're still going to have the asphalt down below. You've still got the cancer down below. So you come in and I do a white top. Now I got what the problem was. I buried it to the next generation. Now I got concrete on top of it. Up northeast, where there's no asphalt plants, permanent asphalt plants, you got A&R Construction and a couple other small guys, I can get concrete at about the same price as asphalt. Down here, you got 4 or 5 guys bidding on your stuff. So is it technically viable? Yeah, but you got to look at, I look at the big picture. What do I do at the end of this pavement structure? What's it going to cost me now to have buried my investment, which is the asphalt, versus rejuvenating?
Wouldn't your lifespan be way better, though, if you just use that asphalt as a base and instead of putting a thin overlay, go a little thicker and make it structural?
It depends what I do to that base. So all good questions, but it's all where am I at, how thick is it?
Probably more directed towards 1 and 6 again. Knowing we are going to have these problems, are you guys directing like the culvert projects, bridge projects at these areas where we are going to put new pavement in eventually just so we have the culverts and bridges fixed?
Yes, actually we have. You'll see that some of the shouldering jobs, we came in and we did those culverts first.
Which is great.
Yeah. So, we're looking at, if you look at the O'Dell Road, there's one or two structures on there. I don't think there's any structures. There may be some culverts up here on the Pickrow Road. There's one small structure, I think, in the third mile or the west mile. But, absolutely. We want to get ahead of that activity, let it settle out.
Well, since I saw Saline County Commissioner come in, if we just do things like they do up in Saline County, we wouldn't have any problem whatsoever.
Well, if they'd give us their money. Maybe that's why they're here today.
I think we've had enough public hearing.
Yeah, well, I think we. I know we have. Unless anybody had questions, though, there's some good questions, Gary.
The only thing I was going to bring up is we keep talking about this Holmesville Road and spending a bunch of money on it, but you got a bridge over a dam in Blue Springs that doesn't allow you to hardly drive a car over the damn thing anymore.
Yeah.
So, do we want to continue to spend money on a road that we can't really use because of a bridge?
Well, the bridge probably should go on the long-term project list. And, you know, if it took us, 18 years to get the Adams Northwest project done, it's going to take longer than that to get Blue Springs done, so it should get started on.
Whose district is that bridge in?
Gary's.
Really? That's odd. Didn't know that was included in my district.
So there ought to be a committee to come up. I'm thinking Tiemann and Lytle and
Hill.
Hill ought to probably just wrestle about this.
And yeah.
But I agree with Gary. It should be going on our long-term project list, and it's going to be a long ways down the road.
It is.
But unless Mark's got some comments about the Blue Springs River Bridge, but... there's no fixing it, right?
There's major, you know, the problem is the federal aid dollars are, they're buyback. They go in your buyback. And I don't see that changing. And whatever Trump.
Well, and the question is, as you said, John, whether it's down the road or not.
Yeah, well, it's going to be down the road long ways.
The key is to plan. We need to be ready to go when funds become available or we feel there's no wait.
Yeah.
Because on those major projects like that, the permitting takes longer, the design takes longer, and if you get a closure, it's going to be a letter because those fracture critical bridges for the next 2 years are still inspected by state. They'll be back to us in 2 years, but you won't even know. You'll get a letter saying, by the way, we're down here, you bring barricade. Then you're really in trouble. I mean, we'll be just getting chewed because we won't be ready. So your long-term ideas are something we should identify those and get them to a reasonable start.
Okay. Any more questions for Mark? Otherwise, I know we have a couple people in the audience for something, but I don't think there's anybody else here for comments on the 1 and 6 because this is a public hearing.
Thank you, Mark.
Make a motion to close the public hearing.
If not, I'll take a motion for 10:07 on the clock. Close the public hearing. Motion by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Vote. Thank you, Mark, much for coming down and stuff. So, and we're gonna take just a little bit of time here to do something else. We have a couple guys here today that want to give a little talk.
You want to do the resolution?
Let's approve.
We'll do that as soon as we get. Oh,
if she is, we should get her out of here.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll find out here. Willis, name and address if you could.
Okay, I'm Willis Ludke, Saline County Commissioner. It's a real pleasure to be here this morning. Evidently, you had a very good architect on designing your building. You got a lot better room than what we ended up with. The reason I'm here this morning is one of your board members, Denny Beyer, served on the NERMA Board of Directors and served very well for a period of time. We, at our January board meeting, adopted a resolution, and with your permission, I'd like to read that resolution. Whereas Denny Beyer has served in various public service capacities since the 1960s, and I didn't realize he was that old. Whereas Denny Beyer has served on the Gage County Board of Supervisors since 2009. Whereas Denny Beyer was appointed to the Nebraska Intergovernmental Risk Management Association Board of Directors on February 3rd of 2011 to fill a vacancy, then elected by membership in October 11th to a 3-year term and reelected to a second term in October of 2014. Whereas Denny Beyer has continuously served as a NERMA board member from 2011 through 2017 and supported NERMA's efforts and goals to provide an outstanding self-insurance program for the county government. Whereas Denny Byers completed the service on the Nurnberg Board of Directors December 31st, 2017, and whereas the Nebraska Board of Directors, individually and collectively, desire on behalf of all member counties and public agencies to express and acknowledge their recognition of the public service contributions of Dennis Byers. Therefore, be it resolved that this resolution be spread upon the minutes of the Nebraska Intergovernmental Risk Management Association, that it be placed into the permanent records of acknowledged appreciation by the NIRMA Board of Directors for Dennis Byers' service to NIRMA, as well as his country, state, county, and community, and that a copy of this resolution be presented to Dennis Byers, passed and approved the 26th day of January 2018. Denny, if you'd come forward, please, I would like to present you with this resolution.
Totally shocked.
I finally got one over on you.
Yes, you did.
Congratulations. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
We also have a plaque for Denny, and it says NIRMA, serving county government. Dennis Byers, Board of Directors, 2011 to 2017.
Wow. Wow. Fantastic. Thank you.
I have one more thing.
Pretty well fed.
I have always received so much guff from your fellow supervisor, Denny Byers. Every time we had a meeting, it was, well, how many kolaches did you bring me today?
Oh.
And I knew that would be a box full of kolaches.
And one stipulation, you have to share. Being the fine, upstanding person you are, I know you.
Yes, I will. Absolutely. Wow. Thank you, Willis,
for everything. Thank you for your service to NIRMA, to the county.
I am so thrilled to have been a member of the NIRMA board, and that is a wonderful, wonderful organization that does so much for our county and our state.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Anybody that wants kolache, I have kolaches.
Send them around. Send them around.
No, thank you, Willis, and Steph, and thank the NIRMA board and everything. So
thank you for allowing him time off from his full schedule.
Oh yeah, but
that was from Denise.
But no, this is.
I wasn't at home. So.
Quite a thank you for Denny. So thank you. Thank you too for the time you took from this board and everything and served on that board. So appreciate it very much. So
thank you, Willis.
I'm so blessed to have served.
And I have a question for you. Are you here for the liquor?
Yeah.
For the liquor.
Not the liquor license.
Liquor license.
John has some.
Gotcha. Sorry, I didn't. The liquor license. That's what some of them thought. And we're to help you out, I guess, we're going to jump ahead on the agenda and we're going to go do that.
I've enjoyed the rest of the meeting, though, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Bring anything. Maybe that's why I was last.
Yeah.
Next time I'll bring something.
Number one is kolaches, so yeah.
Wine tasting with wine.
Hey, for this board.
To approve, I'm making a motion to approve.
Second,
the recommendation.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion on the agenda. It's on the next page there. To approve or disapprove recommendation for special designated liquor license for wine tasting fundraiser for St. Paul School located at the Four Generations Barn. And we have a motion by Bauman and a second by Lytle. Anything you'd like to talk about or just...
Where's the Four Generations Barn?
Where's the Four Generations Barn?
He's there north of Pickerel.
If you want to give your name and address.
Sure. Catherine Katz, and my address is 124 Regency Drive, and I'm with St. Paul School.
Okay.
It's 2.25 miles north.
Northeast. Four Generations Barn. Okay.
North of Pickerel on 77, and it's some of us know as Matt Helmke's.
Yeah, the producers.
Yeah.
It's a fundraiser for St. Paul School, wine tasting and ales, of entertainment and food as well.
And we're invited? No, I'm just
Well, after you buy a ticket, you are invited.
After we buy a ticket,
$25.
For a small fee.
For a small fee, and Eric might happen to have some that he would be able to get.
Yeah, I will send some home with him.
Now, the girls in my neighborhood, the Preston and the Reagan girls who go to St. Paul's, now, will they come sell me a ticket?
We're not having children sell wine tickets. We feel like that might not be appropriate.
Okay, maybe the
but
parents.
But the parents would definitely.
Might be one parent who teaches at St.
Paul. Yeah, it's a 21 and older event, so no kids.
Sheriff, do we know that they even need a liquor license for sure on this?
We're selling, so I was told that we do.
Have to. Okay.
Since you're selling, they do. And Gus, your comment on this is, what you normally do out at Gage County Fairgrounds, so.
If it doesn't work well, I know where she lives, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
We promise we'll be good.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Any more discussion?
What date is this?
March 2nd. Right.
Put that on your calendar.
Yeah. Oh. I'll send you a ticket.
All right.
If not, vote 7-0 in favor. And thank you. Thank you for staying here as long as you did. And I know you were interested in our 1-6-year plan.
Is there anything we can do to kind of keep a halo around that area where we have no sheriff interference?
I don't think we voted on the 1-6.
No, we haven't. We're going back to that now. Yep.
Thank you very much. Thank
today.
You very much for all you do. Appreciate it.
You could probably sign that right away, couldn't you, Myron?
Is there a phone in here? Okay.
Yeah, we're kind of running short on the schedule.
Yeah, we are. That holiday is throwing us off in there. Oops.
And now we need to go back and on the agenda, we'll go back to the previous page.
Have them make a copy of it for us.
Yep. Thank you.
Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove resolution on the Gage County 2018-2023 1- and 6-year proposed highway improvement plan.
So moved.
Back. Okay, which one are we on?
We're on the one right below
915.
Yeah. Well, motion by Thiemann and seconded by Juergens. Okay. It's on the 1- and 6-year proposed highway improvement plan.
We need a resolution number, don't we?
Yep, need a resolution number.
That will be 1802.
1802. Thank you.
1802. And you have down that Thiemann?
Yep.
Thiemann motion, Juergens second. Any discussion? Vote 7-0 in favor. And the next line there, approve or disapprove county bridge match program agreement between Gage County and State of Nebraska Department of Roads.
Motion to approve.
We already got that. We already had a motion on that one already.
Oh, we already had that motion. We just didn't vote.
Yeah. Right. I thought we voted.
Oh, that I apologize. I didn't think we even had the motion. But we had the motion before we talked about it, didn't we?
Yep. Yes.
So who had the motion?
The motion was by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Yep.
I apologize for that. I didn't, that's why you said we hadn't voted. So, any more discussion on that? If not, vote. 7-0 in favor. Next up on the agenda, approve or disapprove resolution for signing of the project program agreement, DL-1803, and authorizing chairman to sign resolution.
Move to approve.
Sorry.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Thiemann, and this is resolution number
1803.
And let the record show these two gentlemen actually agreed on something. At this point.
Any more discussion?
What, Galen? All this is it assigns you as basically a project manager on these, or
well, no, this is just to approve the projects and the funding.
That's strictly for the project program agreement.
The agreement provides that you will appoint somebody. Which
we've been discussing this stuff like the last 2 hours, don't we?
My bad.
Do you see anything else in there that you have questions on, Eric? Or nope. Okay. And Galen, you understand what it's for then?
Yes.
Okay.
You're okay. Oh. You're okay, Eric. It's not the Holmesville Road.
Sorry.
I thought I'd stick it in there, you know.
He was checking. Okay. We have a motion. We have a second. We need to vote yet, right?
Yep.
Vote. 7-0 in favor.
What do they call it, the earmarks? I don't want to see any of those on this.
Yeah, I'm impressed that you're in favor of a big government program, Eric. I'm just kind of impressed with that. Appreciate the way you champion that and think it's so efficient for big government to step in and save counties money.
Okay, we got
to
sign that.
There you go. I even heard us listening.
Next up on the agenda is approve or disapprove changes to Gage County Extension Constitution.
So moved.
So, okay. Motion by Tiemann and second by who?
Vital?
No, Dawn called me like on Monday and she sent me a copy of this. There are some things in here. I know the motion was to approve and everything. I think we need to go back and we need to visit with Nicole some more. There are some things, and I apologize, I don't think we have a copy for everybody. There's a couple different spots in here where we need to, if we're going to do this at this time, we need to change. Not change, we need to make sure we're right on them. There's 8 pages in this, but on page, I call it 4 here, it says, this constitution may be amended at any regular or special meeting of the extension board by a favorable vote of 2/3 of the total extension board.
That doesn't include us.
But there's not an extension board either.
Well, that they're setting this up, and this is what this constitution does. Okay, they're setting that up, and then to have it. And I guess before we approve this, it has that in there twice that the extension board can change this. We don't have any say in whether or not it gets changed or whatever. So I think we need to have some of that discussion before we
absolutely
go ahead and approve it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That can't be changed unless we have an approval on that also.
Well, we need to be mentioned or involved or something needs to be changed that. Then the other one was, and this is, I'll refer this back to Matt, I guess, as much as anything. Under personnel, it says provide support clerical staff, including both hiring and termination responsibilities in numbers and qualification commensurate with the realistic needs of the program employed by the county pursuant to the county human resource policies, benefit policies, and all of the county's terms of employment after careful consideration of the recommendation and input of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln Extension. This is the Constitution. This is not the agreement that we have with the university.
I'm still against a county employee being supervised by a non-county employee. I just I don't think it's good medicine. I don't think it's something.
And I'll just say this.
I just think it's bad policy. Unless someone can present it to me differently and help me understand it, change my mind. I'm open to suggestions.
Yeah.
I'm not closed-minded on the issue. I just, the way it stands, we still have county employees being supervised by non-county employees. So how can a non-county employee enforce an HR handbook if they're not even accountable to?
And I don't know if we've had that discussion with Nicole. You know, I mean, we did with Paul, and we had some, maybe weren't quite on the same page there, but part of what we need here is we need a better understanding with this. We also need to bring in the agreement. At the same time we're looking at this, make sure that this doesn't contradict or is different than the university agreement.
Keep in mind, this is their constitution.
The extension, yes.
Right. The real nuts and bolts, if you will, is the agreement between this board and the extension office. Because that's where, as they say, the money strings are. Mm-hmm. So, and I understand your concern, and it's something I think to clarify with Nicole. But I just throw that out. Because I don't think they were trying to...
No, they're not trying. They're not trying to get around us. But some of these things we need better clarification.
Well, make sure everybody knows what's going on. And I agree with your analysis.
Yeah.
If you're going to do that, let's have all the sticks on the table, so to speak.
There was one other paragraph in here too that the extension board will monitor, approve, and pay claims. Well, no, that doesn't. That's not the process we have. And to go ahead and approve this as a constitution and then have that the policy, that isn't what we should. I guess my point being, after Don brought this, some of these things forward, and then you actually sit down and you read this thing, you go, oh, we didn't do a good job of looking at it. We just And Nicole, bless her heart, she came with the proposals that we talked about, the proposals that she came forward with, and we talked about those, and those are fine in here, at least the way I look at them. But there are some others we need to work on or whatever and stuff. So,
as far as the Constitution and whether making changes to their Constitution, that's probably fair what we discussed the first part. We probably don't need to be included on changing their Constitution.
Well, but when that first came up, I think Nicole was trying to revitalize the board, if you will, the advisory board.
Yep.
That has kind of nobody was in that anymore.
Yep.
And I think she's just using that to kind of get everything back on square.
Yeah.
And they probably updated something. Honestly, I didn't look to see what was replaced. I didn't look at the old one versus the new one. It doesn't hurt to.
And maybe you're right. Yeah. Maybe this is their constitution. But then I guess I don't know why. My question being, I understand your point, but then why are we as a board approving this if this is extension? Because we oversee the extension board and everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I want to make sure I understand it. Yeah, we approve. Now, we don't oversee the extension board. We approve who's appointed to the extension board.
Well, she read in there, because I talked to her on the phone, she read the board has to approve it. She didn't say the extension board needs to approve it. So maybe that's what she read. She just read through the board needs to approve it. We're the board. Maybe it's actually that board.
I don't know.
Instead of voting against this, is the easiest thing in this situation if I just withdraw my motion.
I'll withdraw my second.
Yeah.
So we can
review it.
And review it some more. We need to have more.
We'll just find out what's the end run here. What are we trying to get accomplished? And do we have to be involved other than to just say, bless you, go for it?
There you go.
Well, that was going to be my comment, is the provisions for the extension programs in the state are laid out in state statute, correct? Aren't there guidelines in there that allow that? Why the heck is it so convoluted? They want to rent a building or give us in-kind contributions, let them run their program. If they need some funding, they can submit a budget and get out of the weeds of our employees, their employees. Let them all be extension employees. Let them be through the University of Nebraska. Why? I don't know why this has to be. Hey, it's a valuable program. I'm not saying it's not a valuable program, but why? You know, we've got a space for them. Let them run their program back out of the thing. I think it's just way too convoluted, and we're going to have three agreements. There's going to be the extension board agreement. There's going to be the Constitution, and then there's going to be the extension office agreement at the university.
And what's going to happen financially as the university is looking to cut their budget to get in line with what the governor wants? What is going to happen to the university's budget with the extension office? What are they going to do as far as money is concerned? This could have a tremendous effect on this entire program.
I think it gets us out of it. Make it simple. Y'all know your business. You do your business. Just get out of the thing. And it's always seemed convoluted, cumbersome. Feelings get hurt when you talk about it. It's crazy.
Well, no, that's not my intent. I just think we need.
Sure.
I think we need to make sure we're both on the same page yet before we go and approve something like
right.
this. Okay.
Glad you do. I don't.
And that's okay with Eric and Gary both to withdraw their motion.
Cutting baseball. You're okay. I'm not happy.
Anybody else have anything else? Did I miss anything on the agenda today? If not, we need a closed session for security yet. So I entertain a motion at 10:27 on the clock
to go into
a closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
Dave up here?
Yeah.
You wouldn't need Dave.
Probably do. Since Don's not here, he understands a little bit too.
Holy moly.
Do I have a motion?
On what?
Who made the motion? Let me make the motion, go into closed session.
So moved.
Motion by Bowman, second by Hill. Vote. 6 in favor and team in voting no.
All right.
Too late. We recorded it.
No, you're recording.
Okay.
About lights or cameras.
All right.
Action.
It's about the computers.
More computers.
I want to walk out of the meeting going.
Can you do that?
I wonder if I still know.
Okay.
They're going to do this. Crap.
Which one do you trust?
Good. Almost.
Thank you.
And I don't know either
Thank
one.
Thank you.
I shouldn't
Good
say
question.
That. Maybe
that's the nature
Lord.
Of it, though.
Well,
you know, we're used to a small town, and even though competitors compete, they'll still, if they see you on the side of the road with a flat tire, they'll stop and help.
That's right. Right.
Well, some will, some won't.
What was that?
In other words, Teeman, don't have a flat tire when John's driving by. He just told you, don't have a flat tire when he's driving by.
Apparently, John's
don't be standing out in the roadway.
On the Holmesville Road.
Do we have it?
On the Holmesville Road.
I'll just hide in one of the ruts.
What was that bump?
We're on.
Nice.
Okay, 11:33 on the clock. Entertain a motion to come out of closed session.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Byer, seconded by Lytle. Vote. 5-0 in favor. Anything else for the good of the order? Did you guys want to vote on adjourning the meeting? Because we only have five people here. Many of you vote against it, we won't be able to adjourn.
I clicked my thing over to no on that one for the extension board.
We recorded that.
But then we didn't vote. I retracted my...
He just...
Oh!
I was like, why was I on no? And I didn't know if he was...
Meeting adjourned. Okay. Sometime we're going to vote, though, and not very many people are here, and then a couple of you guys vote no, and we can't leave.
I like it here.
What does that have to do? motion again. Except a motion until we pass it.
At the same meeting, right. We can.
He was a man.
Here, Myron, you probably better know this.
You did?
You'll have Laverne.
Oh, no, I was in the abstain.
Well, everybody have a wonderful Valentine's Day.
Him and Bowman were together on something.
A part says, did you know?
What?
Abstain.
No,
really? Probation?
I abstained on Beatrice Lawn Care. I named something.
No, you voted no on... You voted no on going into closed session.
I did? Oh, I didn't mean to even.
Yeah, you did.
It was no.
Yeah, it was already on no from when...
The extension office, that's what the no was from. I wasn't voting no. That was just, I had clicked it. That's
well,
why.
It's on record.
One time they taxed.
Okay. Leave it that way.
Well, I was just thinking.
One time it was when he
alcohol tax.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, no, I didn't even know I was on no. I got up to go to the bathroom and I thought it was still on yes, but it was from that extension board one.
Way to go.
A 911 Carrera just sold, a 2007 911 Carrera sold for $19,000. Trade-in value on that thing was like $22,000.
Did you have pancakes with Joe Sunday? It was pretty good.